so picking up from yesterday. So we basically are doing this thing about Matt. Okay, so this, the basic question was about modeh b'knas. Okay, so if you admit about a knas, a penalty, so fine, so you're pater. And machlokas was whether if you admit about the fine, there's a fine, it would be, let's say, kefal. If you steal, you have to pay double. So if you come to court and you admit that you stole, so you don't have to pay double. You just pay the principal. You don't have to pay the fine. So the question is, let's say you admit, and then afterwards Edom come and testify that you're guilty. So that's a machlokas. Do you say, and this is the way we explained it, is that do you say that the hodah is a poter? It's an exemption. So once you have an exemption, you have an exemption. Right? Exemption is an exemption. Who cares if Edom come afterwards? You have a poter. Or do you say that the halacha of modeh b'knas potter, it's not an exemption. It just means that your own admittance to the crime is not sufficient evidence to be mechayev you a knas. It was like, for instance, if a person isn't believed, like Asher Yashir and Elohim means that the Bezin has to find you to be a Rasha. You find yourself, you admit yourself that you're a Rasha, that's not sufficient to for Bezin to know your to guilt and to give you the knas. Insofar as Mammon, you're just saying, listen, I owe the guy money. You could always say, I owe the guy money. But a knas is a penalty based on your rishos, on your crime. And it's not enough evidence, like a person isn't believed about his own him being a Rasha. The Gemara says, ain't other mason out from a Rasha. You can't make yourself a Rasha. So therefore, it's not sufficient evidence. But if witnesses come afterwards, then that's fine. Then that is evidence. So it's not an exemption. It just means that you can't be mechayev yourself in a knas. You need bezin to. But the first way was that, no, that the admittance itself is basically you're coming forward. So therefore, that's a poter, that's an exemption. And we said the sense of the exemption is that according to the way that says that it's just not evidence, we said the knas is really just for the crime. You did the crime, so once Bezin knows you did the crime, you get the knas. We said this way, the knas is for a certain type of a gavra. For a gavra of a gana, for a gavra of whatever it is. And the fact that the guy comes forward and admits, it undermines that gavra. So he says, like, Asher Yashir and Elohim, it's like for his rishos. So it's like a punishment for the rishos. And so the idea is if you're modeh, so that mitigates the gavra of the rasha. It mitigates it because of his admittance. And therefore, that's a poter. So if that's the case, then it doesn't matter if witnesses come afterwards, but he has an exemption because he came forward. So coming forward is like, we'll like reward the guy for coming forward with you, the Torah Patris. Okay? So now the question is the further question is the same thing, is let's say you say that if you admit, then it's an exemption. So let's say the case is a little bit different, is that you stole basically, and you're not admitting or whatever, but you see witnesses running to the court. The guys, you catch them in the corner of your eye, the guys who you know saw you steal. So then you know that they're going to come, and they're going to testify, and you're going to be nailed, and you're going to have to pay double. So then you come and admit. You preempt them and you admit. So the question is, do you say that that's still an exemption? Or not? Right? Is it still an exemption? That's my focus. That's the way Shmuel, like Rav, or Shmuel, Rav, Rav's going to learn the Machlokas Tanah. Between the Chacham and Rav's Rav Shimon. Okay, do you say that's still an exemption if you're doing it in like a sneaky manner where you're preempting out of fear? One argument is, look, you're just doing it out of fear for the witnesses. The other one says, look, but you admit. I mean, whatever, he doesn't say that. I'm just putting it into his mouth. But, you know, he doesn't just differentiate. Like, he'll just not a difference. It doesn't matter. So the question was as far. Okay, so Yonah's saying, I don't know what I've been taping or whatever, but I'm saying, let me backtrack a little bit here, okay? So one approach to take, and this is, I guess, the approach that Matt and Levi are putting forth, is that really the Ptor, the reason why the Torah is positing a Ptor here is because the idea of the Gavra. The two variations of it. The way Matt's saying it is really the reason why the Torah is making a Ptor for admitting is because it means, indicates the Gavra is really... you know, he's a different kind of a guy, whatever, he's the tshuva, whatever it is. And therefore, the Torah is saying is if you admit, then this is a ptor, it's an exemption. Right? Even if they don't come afterwards, it's a ptor. So but this is a fake admittance because you're only doing because they're coming. He said, yeah, but halacha says that halacha doesn't get into psychologizing the guy. Halacha just says hodah is a patur, hodah is an objective expression of changed gavra, and you don't get further into his psychology. Right, hodah is a patur halachically. Right. Even though this case really shouldn't be, but halacha doesn't get into the particulars like that. You know, or in a similar way, Levi's saying that no, that it is a din in the gavra, that the kanas is for the gavra, but the way we assess the gavra is whether he's moda. You don't, so again, you don't get into his psychology. Okay, that's almost the same approach. But the idea is, it's saying is that really everyone agrees that it doesn't really make sense that this guy should be potter because he's really a dishonest, hodah guy. And in terms of the idea behind this, halacha moda v'knas potter, really shouldn't be. But halachically, it's just the way we can't get into every single case, into every guy's head. That's the approach. But what I'm saying is that I'm raising the possibility. Maybe it would be nice if we could say that it actually makes sense that this guy should be exempt. Not that it doesn't make sense, but it's halachic baggage that we have no other way to work it out because we can't get into every single case. But maybe it actually is explainable. So Yonah's attempting to explain it. And he's saying is that there's a different type of, there is a guy. Like on the one hand you'll say, yeah, but the guy's clearly, he's just admitting because he's under the pressure, under the fear. So, but Yonah's saying, yeah, but there are certain guys who don't even admit under the pressure and under the fear. Certain guy who's like a really rebellious guy or really smart, strong-nosed guy. Who's not, he's not gonna, I don't care the witnesses are coming, I maintain my innocence, period. And I'm gonna yell the court down, and I'm gonna say, I don't know what you're talking about, and they're witnesses, I don't care, you're gonna make me pay? I don't care, I'll go down paying, I never stall, I don't know what you're talking about. You know? He'll really antagonize the court, there's some type of guy like that. And then, that you know what I'm saying, maybe that's the guy who the Torah's imposing a kanas for. That's the guy who was imposing a kanas for. That's a certain type of a sinner who we really can't tolerate. And the Torah is saying is that guy we have to penalize. We can't just let a guy get away and we'll go away like that. If you admit, so it means you're not that guy. You're not that gavra. You're admitting. You're coming forward. So are you a big tzaddik? No, you're probably not a big tzaddik. But you're not that guy. The gavra of kanas is a thief, a guy who's like a real danger to society. You know, once the guy comes clean, he admits, so he's been broken by the legal system. He's already been broken. The witnesses, he's come to court, their witnesses coming, he's been broken, he's laying out on the table, he's saying, here's the money. That guy, once he's a moda, then we don't have to enforce it. We don't have to enforce it. The guy we have to force is the guy who's really like a rebel. Right? Whereas the other way, was saying is with the gavra, it's a different gavra. The other way the gavra is, it's the gavra of the rasha. That when you steal, it indicates that you're a rasha. You're a thief. And the hodah is a patur because the hodah indicates tshuva. Hodah indicates that you're coming clean. You're just coming clean on your own. You're just coming clean. So that's a patur because hodah shows that you're not the gavra, the thief anymore. It's true you did the crime, but you're a changed guy. If that's the way you look at it, that it's for the gavra of the thief, so then he says, yeah, but if I'm coming forward because of the fact that I see witnesses coming to the court, that's not tshuva, that's fear. That's objectively, that's clearly not tshuva. So that's not a hodah of tshuva, that's a hodah of fear, of avoiding the consequence, right, of avoiding the double. So if that's the idea of the gavra of kanas is the gavra of the rasha, then the hodah is a maisa which undermines the din rasha, and that's done through a hodah of uninitiated hodah, not through a forced hodah, not through a compelled hodah, it's through a hodah me'atzmo, not from fear of punishment, right? But if again the other side learns that also it's din the gavra, the kanas is din the gavra, but not just the gavra of the rasha, kanas is like a punishment. And the kanas is for the gavra of the rebellion, the rebel, the guy who's avoiding the court. He's avoiding justice. That gavra. It's a certain gavra not just the gavra who's a criminal, it's a gavra who's like a threat, a danger to the society. He's hiding from the court. He's hiding his guilt. And that gavra is undermined when you admit. I don't care if you're admitting for any for a different reason. It's the gavra, not just the gavra, you know, being olamakom, you know, the guy who's a rasha. It's the gavra who's a certain rebel against society. And again, that's done through stealing. But if he admits, then he lacks. Once he comes forward, so then he lacks that. He lacks that that nature. One second. No, it's reminiscent of like let's say by Mrs. Basnan. Who do we punish? Or Malchus? Only if it's Asra. What's Asra? They warn him, and he says, "Afal pikein, I don't care. I'm doing it anyways." Right? So you see, there's an idea of like punishments. We don't just punish. What kind of thing is that? I mean, he did the thing, b'mezer, but it's not. It's lacking the merit, the rebelliousness. Right? So that's has to do the crime in a rebellious manner, a certain type of a crime. Now that's not necessary by kanas. It's not necessary by kanas. Even if he does the crime without hasra, still chayiv. But in the side, well, let me say that that's it, that is incorporated into the halacha of kanas differently. Not that the ma'isa has to be done with hasra, but that if he admits, then it's an exemption. If he admits, if he turns himself in, if he gives in to the society's demands, then he says, okay, fine, I did it. Okay, then that's an exemption. That undermines the merit, the rebellion. So all the possessions. One side is saying, is I guess this is Shmuel. So this is for the crime. Knas for the crime. So I don't care whether you admit or you don't admit. If the Bezin knows he did the crime, Mechayev. Right? The Bezin knows he did it. Of course, they can't know from your own admittance, but as long as they read them, then Mechayev. The other two sides, Wilth and Rav, is saying it's for the Gavra. So it's a distinction within Rav. Rav is saying is within the Gavra. But there's two different ideas within the Gavra. And Rav is learning that. What Gavra is tied to Knas? This is the Gavra of the thief. So a certain Rasha is a thief, and then if he admits free admission, that's indicative that he's not a thief, he's not that Gavra. Or is it the Gavra, the guy that cried, criminal? Or is it the Gavra, it's not just the fact that he did. It's not just the gavra of the Vera, but it's a gavra of like a rebellious gavra, a gavra who's taking on society, and therefore once he admits, then he's basically not a threat to the society. He's kind of saying, "Listen, I realize I did wrong, and look, he's being compelled to do it for some other reason. Yeah, but still, that's not the guy who's a danger to society. So he may not be made to him and God. I mean, he may not be a high level guy, but it means he's broken by the society. He's frightened. He's frightenable." So the lady asks a question, is that he says, yeah, but how do you know the guy was rebellious? Maybe he just didn't know that the witnesses were coming, and before they came, it was too late. He didn't get a chance to be so rebellious, to ignore the witnesses. But maybe he really would have. Right? So maybe he's not that rebellious. Who's to say he's rebellious? Right, that's your question. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
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 So I think the answer to that is that the guy's a criminal. The crime itself indicates the rebelliousness. He did this crime. He stole. He raped. He killed an abbot. I mean, he did. He did some. He did some sort of real crime that which they were penalizing him for. But that creates the status of a rasha. Asher yashion Elohim. So that Bezin established him as a rasha. So a rasha has a din of rebelliousness. But the. You could mitigate that through your hodah. Whereas there's an assumption is the guy who does the crime is a rebellious. I'm not saying you have to create your rebelliousness through some saying, like that's in Misa, that's the case. And in Hasra, in Onesh, you really have to create the rebelliousness through the AFLP game. But here the crime itself, categorically, defines you as a rebellious. But the exemption is a hodah undermines your rebelliousness, undermines your danger to society. So that's the exemption. So if you didn't know about it, then fine, but then you never had that chance. Okay, so Matt's asking, he says, yeah, but that's a different kind of rebelliousness. The rebelliousness, we're saying rebelliousness against society. But the rebelliousness they did in Avera, that's a different thing. Just to say that you're mixing up two different kinds of rebelliousness. Okay, I have to think, that's a good question. Also, we have Yehuda's question, which is also a good question, is that if, and I think it's a question on any svara, you say, actually, but the svara question is that, let's see, he admits after the witnesses come, after they come and testify. So why don't you say that also mitigates his rebelliousness? Right? Or according to the other svara, say, look, Hodo is a p'tor, so then neither Hodo. I mean, unless you say is that there's no room for Hodo, it's like closed. Once the witnesses come, there's no, we don't take Hodo. But then you can say that for what I'm saying also. I guess this isn't, the court's not, it's not open, the doors aren't open for anything. You don't have a choice to say anything once the witnesses come. So then anything you say won't be recognized. Maybe, I don't know. It's a little easier the other svara, I agree, but. Okay, so these are good questions. So you gotta think about them. So let's think about this overnight. And what I'd like to do next is Gemara, it's related. It's Gemara, it quotes here in Shavuos, Lamed Gimel and Beis. Okay, it's a parallel, kind of parallel sugya, which kind of involves this discussion. So it gets into Shavuos Eidos a little bit. Which you probably don't know much about, but you'll try to figure it out, and we'll get into it. It's very interesting. But it kind of, I think what comes out from there is another way to learn the Salacha of Mother Kanas Pater. Like, I guess, like a fourth way, or maybe a third way, or, you know. It's like another, further Machlokas. It's the Gemara on Lama Gimel and Aleph. Yeah, the Gemara on Lama Gimel and Aleph. But you may want to get some background about what Shavuos Eidos is. So in order to do that, you could look at, if you want to prepare it, you could look in the Rambam or something. Whatever, Shavuos Eidos is Perek Yod and Chashvos. You just got a feel for what Shavuos Eidos is about. Okay?